podcast for a Friday, whatever the hell date it is. Of course, all that
25th,
is kind of,
25th, Bob.
Well, that's sort of irrelevant, John, because people listen to this or watch this whenever the hell they want, right?
Okay. So it's November 9th.
No, it's not November 9th. Honest to Rudy. That is John Shannon there, who needs no introduction. I'm Bob McCowan. I probably do. Joining us, a couple of hockey pucks. Although they claim to know plenty about baseball, we will expose that over the next 30 or so minutes. Terry Koshin of the Toronto Sun is with us. Mike Zeisberger of NHL.com. Greetings, salutations to you both. Let us start with hockey. As we sit here, the Stanley Cup final is at 2-1 Tampa. Am I wrong, John?
You're correct, Bob. And by the time people listen to this, it might be over.
Could be. Nonetheless, it would appear that the worm has turned slightly. Stamkos has a little bit to do with it, I suppose. But what's the difference between game one and games two and three? Terry, to you first.
Well, the Tampa Stars have just taken over. Kucherov and Point specifically, and Hedman's been there all, I mean, they've all been there all along, but, you know, Stamkos coming back in game three like you did, Bob, I don't know that Tampa necessarily needed a boost by any sense, but I think they got that. I mean, we saw the reaction when Stamkos scored on the bench. It was like they'd won the game.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes at that point, they did, but I have a lot of respect for Dallas and a lot of respect for the goaltender, but Tampa's got the star power, and, you know, there's some great D-men on Dallas, but when those Tampa people take over up front, they're difficult to stop, and I think we'll see that for the rest of the series, too.
Z, your thoughts?
Yeah, I picked Tampa before the season to make the final and win the Cup. Now, then again, I picked them the previous 2 years, and look at how that worked out, but I just think they're a much deeper team. And I think, you know, it was very, very smart on the part of GM Julien Brisebois to understand that, yeah, it's great to have talent, but you need those muckers, the grinders, the sandpaper guys. And the fact that they went out and got a Patrick Maroon, a Barkley Goodrow, a Blake Coleman, you see what those guys have brought to the table. And every time I watch Tampa, which has morphed from pretty much a one-dimensional team, much like the way that we have in Toronto, to a team that can play, if you want to play a little more in the dirty areas, they can do that better now. And I think that we've seen that in the playoffs, that when their star players are either hurt or negated, the kind of lunch bucket guys, so to speak, have stepped up and really helped this team. And I think that the people in and around the Maple Leafs could learn a lesson by the blueprint that Tampa has used.
You know, the interesting part about what Tampa's done, and I do think that, that they've learned that depth wins championships. And I mean, how many times do you say that in 60 years when you look at how championship teams have been put together? But the Stamkos situation for me is interesting. Now we're not in the bubble. We're not in the arena. We can't feel the tangible part, but in many ways, I think Steven Stamkos, for the 2 minutes and 47 seconds he played in game three, I think it was a really good distraction for Tampa. And I don't mean that in a negative sense as much as I do is that so much time and effort was focused on Steven Stamkos. John Cooper could worry about the rest of the team because everybody wanted to talk about Stamkos. You saw that in the post-game press conferences where if there were 15 questions, 12 were for Steven. And God bless him for answering all 12. And then Victor Hedman and Nikita Kucherov sat there and said, okay, great. We don't have to worry about doing this stuff anymore because Steven's here to do it for us. And they can go about their merry way of being, as Terry said, two of the best players in the tournament on their way to winning the Stanley Cup.
I think what was interesting for me too was Dallas knew that he was going to play. Rick Bonus knows him. They knew that he was going to come back and play. And even for that 247 that he played in five shifts, they had no answer for him. Yeah. Though they knew he was playing. And then that set the tone for the rest of the game.
Well, one thing I'll say, Bob, is when Steven was on the limp, there was probably not, your golf course was probably not as crowded because he wouldn't be playing.
Yeah, but he has taken up full-time residency in the Tampa area since he was he became attached. I don't, is he married or is he just, yeah, you know?
He just had a kid, I think, in the last year or so.
Well, his wife did, actually.
Well,
thanks, John.
Yes, number one, his wife probably had the baby. Yeah. Secondly, marriage is
come
not
on, Mike. Come on, Mike. You got to get back on the trail here. Because
marriage is not a prerequisite for having children. You should know that.
He hasn't called me an idiot in the first 10 minutes, so he's off the game.
You know what? It's
well, I'm getting closer. The more you talk, the more likely that is to happen. You know that, Z. Look, I want to address the television ratings. And, you know, before we started, we were chatting a bit about Keith Pelley being on the program earlier this week and his declaration that his $5.2 billion deal for Sportsnet actually was a good deal. I think,
and it was too, he thought it was too short, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it was 18 years for $5.2 billion, it would have been a better deal. Having said that, television ratings, I don't know how else to categorize them other than abysmal. And we know that some of this is due to the matchup. Dallas is a good team, but not a team with profile. And Tampa has been a longtime good team who has always managed to fall on their sword at some point over the course of the proceedings. What do you think all this means ultimately, not for Sportsnet specifically, but for the National Hockey League? Terry?
I don't know what it means, Bob, for the future. Well, for the future, I look at it this way. This is a unique season, and you're going to get some unique ratings, I think. And one thing we obviously have to take into consideration is you have so many other things going on right now. And I know
that sure.
I know you do in normal times as well, but you know what? I think what you say about the matchup is key. Would we be seeing similar ratings if there's a Canadian team here? I don't think so.
No, of course.
If Sidney Crosby was playing right now, probably not. But, you know, whether Stamkos being out, I don't know how much that has to do with it. But you look at the uniqueness of this and everything else and the time of year, I suppose, and that factor. But I think it boils down to what you said off the top. Dallas doesn't have that attraction, doesn't have it to me, even though they are where they are. And Tampa doesn't necessarily have that as well. And this is what the ratings are. But again, I think you have to look at the bigger picture here and realize that I don't necessarily think this is a foreboding for what's going to come for the NHL once things, quote unquote, get back to normal.
Well, John, you know the numbers better than anybody. I think it was around $1 million for game one and around 700,000 for game two, something like that.
Yeah, $1 million for their regular Saturday night window, which, I mean, if they don't get $1 million, that would be a huge story. And then it was 841 for game two. And the ratings actually have been a little slower to arrive, I think, that this week than before, simply because I think they're trying to keep the numbers away from people.
I would be too if they were crappy like that. I'd be hiding it under the rug.
The other thing is there's viewers.
I know you wanna endorse the National Hockey League.
No, I don't. I don't.
Here's the truth. You know, if you can't get $2 million for a Stanley Cup final, something's wrong. And there should be games where they're getting, my apologies, there should be games where they're getting $3 million, $4 million, $5 million. Yes. Hey,
that's a $5 fine, by the way. That's a $5 fine right there.
Okay, Torts.
Hey, no, I actually think there's a really big factor of viewer fatigue right now. Simply because we've watched too much hockey. And I'm speaking from personal situation too. I mean, we've been watching since August the 1st. I mean, I watched 5 games a day. And not only that, every game looks the same. You know, we got 12
guys.
Well,
yeah, it's the same arenas with nobody in them. Yeah, I get it.
Well, and the same pageantry and the same everything. I mean, the same big video walls. Everything is looking the same, and I think that if you go long term, you're gonna say, hey, we have to find a way to to create personality within those arenas. If we have this issue next year, and I think there's a very good chance that we're going to have to start the season somehow, some way with empty arenas, I think we're going to, the NHL is going to have to identify how do we create more personality? How do we create more, a more positive environment for the game rather than just worrying about 200 by 85? And I do think that I think what's finally happened is I think people are finally realizing how important, you know, the personality of the crowd and the personality of those arenas is to being a viewer. I think it's viewer. Well, I think viewer. And we've also got one extra round of hockey. People are tired of watching hockey right now. I really believe it.
Zeke. I go back to Terry's point though. I mean, this week alone, I mean, you've got, if you're a multi-sports fan, you've got LeBron James playing, you got the kid from Kitchener playing for Denver, you just got the Toronto Blue Jays clinching a playoff spot, as bastardized as that setup and the system is. You know, you've got the NFL starting. So mm-hmm. I think, there, you know, a lot of worlds are colliding right now. And you add that to the fact that, no, Dallas is not a sexy team. And I think that all plays into it.
I think, too, a couple of things that kind of surprised me in this is, yeah, John, a lot of hockey, you're right. We've been inundated with it since August 1. But the thing for me is, if you're a fan right now and you're not watching these games, when the hell are you going to see NHL hockey again? No one can say. I mean, the question was brought up with Gary Bettman last Saturday. Are we looking possibly at next September, you know, before we see the NHL again? I think that has to be brought into it. I just think there's a little surprise to me that, as much as we've been watching, people aren't taking advantage of this opportunity now because we don't know when we're going to see it again. And one thing I'll say too about the blandness of it, I agree completely. Because one thing I noticed when I was watching a lot of the Raptors until they were eliminated, haven't watched much NBA since, was the fake fans in the buildings. If you're just kind of, you know, you've got the TV on the background, you're glancing over a few times, there is something a little more to that. And you know, baseball, you know, you're seeing them behind home plate and all this sort of thing. But in hockey, there's just that, you know, almost the vastness of these coverings of the seats that sort of take away from it. But I'm just surprised that with the ratings are where they are, given that we don't know possibly after Saturday when we're going to see these guys again.
So. Well, at the end of the day, the numbers are crappy. And, we can all surmise as to what the reasons might be. And I don't think any of us know for sure. Look at the Raptors are out of it. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought that the ratings, you know, I would think that there are fans of the Raptors and hockey in this country. And that when the Raptors leave, they're going to stop watching basketball. And I think there's merit to that. There are a lot more Raptor fans than there are basketball fans.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking about 200. Well, basketball right now is, in our country, is at about 250,000 viewers per game. That's it.
Well, until you get to the postseason. I mean, the Toronto Raptors drew, 4, 5, 7 million in the final last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, but again, I understand. They're not necessarily basketball fans. They're just clingers on, you know, they'll watch anything that's current and allegedly big
and Canadian,
but that, not whatever that number is, didn't transgress over to hockey. So there is something here, and if I'm Sportsnet, if I'm Gary Bettman, I'm scratching my head. They're doing the best they can with what they've got.
Yep.
But so is everybody else. Baseball's playing in front of no fans. Basketball's playing in front of no fans. And the National Football League is playing in front of a maximum of 6,000 or 7,000 fans in the stadium, which has negligible impact on the feeling. Something's going on, and I'm not sure what it is. If it isn't, simply the matchup.
I think the frustration, you talk about the, no, just about the matchup. I think there's a real frustration. Because Dallas should be a bigger draw. When you look at the stars on that team, pardon the pun, but when you look at the stars on that team, if they played anywhere else, if they played on a Canadian team, we would be talking about, I mean, Jamie Benn almost signed with Vancouver before this contract he's under now.
But you are missing the point. I want to bring the other guys in this conversation, but you are missing the point here. The point is that hockey fans peripherally know who these guys are. It's the casual hockey fan that jumps in at the playoff time. And they got no idea. They have no history with this Dallas team. They don't know who Ben is. They don't know who any of the players are. And more importantly, they don't care. Z, you're smiling.
Well, no, there is some back to that, because a guy, you look to John's point, a guy like Miro Heiskanen, the way that he's played, you know, you could argue if there's one player on the Stars right now, who would their leading candidate for the Conn Smythe be? It would either be Khudobin or Ben or Heiskanen. And yet they have done, you know, they really haven't done a very good job of marketing these young guys. So, you know, you look at a guy like Quinn Hughes in Vancouver and the market that he plays in, is Quinn Hughes better than Heiskanen? I don't really think so, at least not this point in his career. But because of where he's playing, the average fan doesn't really know who this kid is.
Well, even some hockey fans don't know who he is. Terry, walk down the street, walk down Yonge Street and ask people randomly who Heiskanen is.
Well,
you're not going to get a big response.
No, I think it. I really do think a lot of this has to do with the matchup, like we're talking about. And like I said, Heiskanen has barely been in the league as much of a star that we think he's going to be. Mm-hmm. And again, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, who's been missing in action for the most part. These guys don't have the cachet of other people in the National Hockey League, and certainly not of, Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov. Still, we're not seeing overall the ratings anyway. I'm not sure what exactly it is, but they shouldn't be where they are right now, period.
Even the Points and the Kucherovs don't get near the acclaim, in our country at least, that they deserve. Victor Hedman's the only guy on that team that I think, and for lots of reasons, Victor Hedman's the only guy on that team that everybody who would walking down Yonge Street, if they asked who Victor Hedman was, they'd say, well, he's that big dude that plays for Tampa.
Right.
Six guy that looks like Thor, yeah.
maybe Toronto fans will be happy that a blue and white team gets to raise that damn thing this week. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, wrong blue, wrong place, wrong.
Boy, Terry, that is wishful thinking, Terry. Holy smokes. Yeah, what is that?
You know what it's funny? You know what it's funny? Zai brought up the Leafs earlier and this whole Alex Pietrangelo thing, and the depth that Tampa has now, and you look at the depth charts that are put together when people put Pietrangelo on it at forward.
Yeah.
Not even close to what Tampa's putting on the ice now. There's a lot of work to be done here in Toronto.
Do you have any other hockey things you want to discuss, Shannon, or can we move to baseball a little bit?
Let's go to the team that's going to the postseason.
Yeah, well, the Toronto Blue Jays last night beat the New York Yankees 4-1 and managed to find themselves in the postseason. And actually, they aren't necessarily the eighth seed. They could run the table, and the Yankees could lose 2 or 3 on the weekend, and the Blue Jays would not be eighth. I'd like to tell you where they'd be, but I'm not sure.
I'd like to avoid playing Tampa Bay, that's for sure.
In baseball.
Yeah.
And we got to be careful here because we got two Tampa teams.
Yeah, but I'd like to avoid playing the Rays.
Well, which occurs to me, life is pretty good if you live in Tampa right now, right? You got
Tom Brady too.
You got Tom Brady, and you got two teams, one going to the playoffs and one in the final.
Pandemic notwithstanding.
I don't think they care about the pandemic in Tampa. I don't think they're smart enough to understand that this is a serious thing and that they should stay inside. Having said that, you know, we're not talking about the intelligence level of Tampa Bay area people. We're talking about the sports innuendo here.
Yep.
What the hell does this mean to the Toronto Blue Jays longer term? A little bit of success is always perceived as a good thing because you can build on it. Is if you get wiped out by the Rays with your ace and somebody named who pitching second, is there a benefit here?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the benefit is, if you look what this team has gone through, and I'm not the people running it, because I thought that was chaotic from the get-go. The fact that where are they going to play and having to scramble around, and that there weren't more contingency plans in place. But this is a young team. They come, they're in Dunedin and people catch COVID in their party. They come to Toronto thinking that that's where they're going to play. Then they're told the last second, no, you're not going to play there.
And that's not their fault. That's not their fault, though, Mike.
No, it's not their fault. But what I'm saying, John, is that they deserve credit, the young guys on this team, because they went through a lot of crap, okay, because of bad organization by the people, you know, above them. Mm-hmm. And they've never used it as an excuse. It looks like it's bonded them together. And, you know, I got to say, I mean, you know, we've all watched a lot of baseball. I may have never seen a team that runs the bases worse, that is as bad at fielding as they are, and somehow they overcome that too and make the playoffs. I mean, you know what? It's a must-watch team, because you want to see if they're going to win, and you want to see if and how they're going to screw up differently.
And they've been able to do this too with one of their, you know, the top young stars, budding stars at first base.
Oh.
You know, Vladdy Guerrero, a bit of an adventure. I mean, now, I don't want to say, look, a lot of teams are getting in. I mean, the Jays are, what, 3 games over .500. So, yep. You know, we know the playoff doors are a little more wide open this year in MLB. But, you know, they persevered. So, I'm with you on that. And getting back to the original question, Bob, I mean, they get their doors blown off. I still think it'll be, if that happens, you know, Ryu's going in game one, and that necessarily might not happen. But, you know, it's going to be a good learning experience for these youngsters doing it together. You know, you compare them to the hockey team down the street, and you know, they think that it's going to do something for them in the long run as well. We'll have to see. But I mean, these guys, a lot of them played the minors together, the Stars, sure. You know, and in a short series too, where you get that win in game one, man, everything.
Oh yeah, there's a chance.
You know,
to your point, Terry. What benefit has it been to the Toronto Maple Leafs to make the playoffs for the last how many years and get bounced out in the first round?
Yeah, it hasn't been. You're right. But maybe to a degree, we're comparing apples and oranges. I mean, it's I don't know. It hasn't been. But I think that for the Jays, the circumstances right now, and, you know, not even playing at home and this sort of thing, I've never mind the same country. I think it could be a benefit going forward, for sure.
Go ahead, Mike.
I find it fascinating that, you know what, who would have thought, like post 2016 baseball season, that, you know, if the Jays somehow win their first round series, that back in 2016, somebody would have said, you know what, the Toronto Blue Jays, who are blowing this thing up, are going to win a playoff series before the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know what, I mean, not to bring it back to hockey, but I think that's
pretty shocking, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's very shocking. But you know what, Bob? It's also realistic. I mean,
oh yeah, I don't disagree with you. Well, I mean, the Blue Jays at least have a chance.
Yeah.
To accomplish that, I don't think any of us believe that it's likely, and principally because Tampa will throw out three front of the line pitchers. Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. And the Toronto Blue Jays simply cannot do that. But anything, you know, theoretically, anything can happen.
Just a couple of side notes that not necessarily with this roster. For me, if this team was playing here in front of people, how much of a hero would Alejandro Kirk be? Because I think he's one of those kids that people would just glean onto and love having around. And the other thing was that if we've all been to Buffalo a lot. Buffalo, for all intents and purposes, has for the longest time been a Yankee town or a Met town, simply because of cable television. They get the Mets and they get the Yankees. And we've always wondered why it wasn't a Blue Jay town. Why couldn't it be? I mean, we're not that far away. Now the AAA team is there. And so the Blue Jays have an opportunity to play in Buffalo, and the frustration of not having anybody in the building to watch this team, it's an opportunity lost to grow the fan base of the Toronto Blue Jays. Although I do think there's a lot more interest in the Blue Jays now because they actually did play games in Buffalo, and I think that's a positive for this baseball club.
Agreed. Fans are not, you know, I think they have taken notice there. And, you know, it is a bit of a surprising thing. You know, Johnny, you talk about the fan interest there in the Yankees and the Mets and everything. I've been to a few Bisons games over the years, and one of those things you could sit around or walk around that stadium, sit wherever you want, just nobody there. But, yeah. You know, we'll see if this has a long-lasting effect in Buffalo.
Well, if they were in a position to have fans in Buffalo, they wouldn't be in Buffalo. They'd be in Toronto.
Yeah.
That's probably the answer to it. So I think.
Not necessarily, because we wouldn't be able to get across the border still.
I mean, No. I'm saying, you know, you're.
If there were, I don't want to argue this.
It's such a stupid point that you've made, John.
I think it was a really good point, Bob. You know,
I know, but you're the only one in existence.
No, Terry and
you're
Mike
the only
agreed
one
with
of
me.
The four
no,
of
Terry
us.
Terry and Mike agreed. I saw them nod.
Well, they're sucking up for reasons that are inexplicable.
For me, so.
And who gives a crap with it, whether they like it or don't like it in Buffalo? You know, it's a place to play, and
they made that ballpark look pretty darn good, I think.
Hey, at least a Toronto team finally wins in Buffalo, because we know the hockey team hasn't since what, 1971?
Okay, punch.
Very well said, though, I think. Now they're going to go into a bubble, right, for the playoffs.
The wild card will be played in the higher seed, the two out of three, and then they go to a bubble either in San Diego or Arlington or Dallas-Fort Worth, I think. So,
is there any merit to this? I mean, it makes it a little bit easier, but kind of like closing the barn door after the chickens have all run away, isn't it?
I think what it does do is it saves a ton of money. It saves a ton of money.
Well, it saves travel dollars, I guess, yeah.
And don't forget, right now, your number one revenue or your number one cost is television, and now you only have to do two setups. You only have to do two stadiums.
Good.
He's always going to speak like the guy in the truck, Bob. Come on.
Oh, I know. And you know, who gives a flying fado about the TV networks and whether they're making money or not making money? They're a bunch of idiots. They deserve to lose their ass.
That's the only reason all these sports are being played is for the TV networks.
Yeah,
and their sponsors. That's the only reason why the hockey season is being finished. That's the only reason why the NBA season is being finished. They have contracts. You can say now that we played all these games, we delivered all the content to you, write the check. That's the only reason we're doing this.
Well, that's a function of the leagues, with the beneficiary being the television networks, or at least indirect beneficiary being the television networks. It's not the networks themselves. And look, I mean, it's a topic for another time, but I mean, I'm sitting here watching all this that's going on in this pandemic, watching television numbers that are nowhere near where we would have anticipated. We have nowhere to go. We're sitting at home. We're drinking more booze than ever before. Wine sales are up 40% worldwide. We're tired of dealing with our spouses, those of us that have them. and the kids are driving us nuts, and you can't get away to go anywhere and do anything. So all we have is the damn television and all these games, and we're not watching them. And so there's something inherently wrong here.
Hold on. We went through this once before.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did. When TV ratings took a plummet in 2016 because people got glued to their televisions to watch one man. And you know this, Bob. He changed the viewing habits for 3 months, and it's happening again.
Well,
it is.
Half of America is watching. I wouldn't waste 5 seconds watching that dope. Now, here's the point, and I'm interested in you guys and in the panel's comments on this. Are we once again projectedly headed for pay television? Watch, like. getting stuff off of general networks and starting to say, you know, if you want to watch this, you're going to have to pay for it separately. I thought that era had passed, to tell you the truth, but now I'm wondering whether it might not make a comeback. Terry, you got any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you look at other forms of television and the way people are watching things like Netflix and other subscription.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's not a big fee to pay monthly for these sorts of things. And I think a lot of the eyeballs have gone there. Now, part of this, my thinking on this too, Bob, is that obviously that each league is going to sit back and say, okay, where could we have done better TV wise, ratings wise, and everything else. I also think there's probably a little bit of it in each sport that's saying, just getting through these seasons and getting things on the field and on the rinks was enough of an accomplishment. You know, the NHL, for example, not one COVID positive in this bubble, in either bubble, for as long as it was. Get through all of this, and I think they're going to have to sit back and reorganize and look at everything from a longer view when it's all done. But again, concerns, yes, but you know, if we're seeing the TV watching or computer watching, or you're ever doing it on your phone, going in another direction, in a further direction with all these subscription things that we see, why not sports then eventually? I mean, you think it's going that way. A lot of people, how many people don't have cable anymore and still have it just for the Leaf games or whatever else? And I think it could go that way for sure. But again, they're going to look at the long view this year and perhaps throw the asterisk on it for everybody and see where it goes from here.
See?
Well, I agree. And I think it goes by sport by sport. I mean, first of all, I mean, the fact that we even have sports, I mean, I remember texting with John like within a week or two before or after the pandemic hit. And we were both thinking, like, when the ideas of live sports came up, it's like, what kind of idiotic concept is that? Like, I mean, we got bigger things to worry about. The fact that they pulled this stuff off, to me, is you know, it's incredible. But I think it goes with every sport, Bob. Like, I mean, I still remember a few years ago that the Blue Jays were playing Texas in the first round of the playoffs. And it was early in the hockey season. We were in Detroit. I was at the Renaissance Center. The Blue Jays game was on FS1. That is how Major League Baseball chose the outlet to choose who was going to broadcast that series. I could not get that station in my hotel. So you know what? I could be in Canada and watch a Blue Jays game in Texas in the playoffs, but I'm in the U.S. and can't see it. And that's, you know, so for me, every sport is unique that way. But when you have something like Major League Baseball that's handing it out to so many different branches, then maybe it is time, you know, where paying to watch is going to come back, because at least you have that option. Because, you know, how many people in the States have FS1? I don't know, but I don't think it's as big as ESPN or anything like that.
Oh, no, God, no. But I mean,
hey, listen, all those networks have seen a drop in their subscriptions. ESPN, when, you know, not that long ago, yeah, we were talking close to 100 million homes. Now I think it's in the 80s, you know, I mean, so things have really changed. I think when you look at certain sports, I think they're a fact of life that we are going to see that. You know, if you have the over-the-air tier, you have the cable tier, you're going to see the digital tier. You're going to see internet sports. You're not going to see it in the National Football League. You know, yep. I mean, the stories now are that Fox is going to spend $2 billion for rights per season in the next contract. So it depends on the urgency of the sport that's trying to find another level of revenue. I the NHL, I mean, is going to, in 2 years, is going to have a new deal in the United States. And there's no doubt that it's going to be a three-tier deal. It's going to be NBC. It's going to be probably ESPN. And then there's going to be some digital tier, whether it's DAZN or Yahoo, right, or Google or Amazon. There's going to be a night that is going to be dedicated to your computer to watch the sport, or to your big screen if you've got Apple TV type thing.
And John, I think you brought a great point there, that when you bring up DAZN, I mean, you don't have to be a soccer fan in this country, but you know, 2-3 years ago, Saturday mornings, my friends that are big into the Premier League, you know, they put on Sportsnet. There you go. That's your Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You can't see a single Premier League game now unless you have DAZN.
That's right. Canada.
Yeah. And it's working. If you want it, then they say, okay, show us the money.
I wonder, too, if any of this, just going back to the whole ratings issue through the pandemic, is one thing we were told, or a lot of the players were saying to us, I'm just talking NHL-wise, before all this happened, phase two, phase three, was it'll give people a sense of normalcy again to be watching sports. I don't necessarily see that, because what we're watching isn't normal. No fans, everything else. And then, you know, you can't walk 10 feet outside your house to have a reminder that nothing is normal. Mm-hmm. And just because we're watching sports on TV, I don't necessarily have the sense, even watching it, covering it, getting into a rink myself. I mean, guys, we saw what it was like here in Toronto. Nothing normal about it. It just, I don't think that line of thinking went to as far as some of these leagues thought it was going to.
Interesting stuff. We covered a little bit of ground here today. We thank you both for taking time for us, and hopefully you'll find some time in your schedule down the road to join us again. Thanks guys. Before. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Z.
Greetings and salutations, Bob. Thanks for having
us. Thank you for agreeing with me most of the time. That's great, because I do not get any help from McCowan.
John, that did not happen, and everybody can attest to that.
Nobody wants to listen or watch you if you're agreeing with Bob.
I feel the same way about Zayas, John. So
that's good. All right.
Thanks, just for your attention, it appears I will be doing this podcast alone on Monday.
Really?
And so be prepared for that.
Oh, you're back to the 10-minute show, huh?
No. Oh, no.
Oh, no, no.
I'm going to do 5 hours, John. I'm just going to do it without you. That's what I'm going to do. All right.
I would pay to see that.
Good. Send your check. Paper Bob. Have a great weekend, boys. And everybody watching or listening, same thing. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.